Remember the garden of Gethsemane. On the night that the soldiers came with clubs and they wanted to arrest Jesus, Peter took up his sword and then he wanted to fight for Jesus. He cut off the slave here. And that slave happened to be the slave of who? The high priest. Jesus told Peter, put back your sword into its sheath. For those who live by sword, this what? Die by this sword. And then to show Peter the more, Jesus took the ear and then restored it back to the monk. And Peter was shocked. Because these same people that Jesus is agitating for them, Jesus is saying they should not fight for him. They shouldn't be destroyed. These are the same people that later on you will hear that they will beat up Jesus. They will scorch him. They will hang him on the cross. And they will do what? Crucify him. And if somebody is doing that kind of thing to you, that person should be tagged as what? An enemy, isn't it? These people were enemies of Jesus. They were enemies of God. They were enemies of salvation. But yes, Jesus says, no. Do not fight with the sword. Your weapon to fight the enemy is what? Prayer. Not weapon. Do not use the sword. Because if you use the sword, you will do what? You will die by the sword. And then you will ask, when did Peter, a fisherman, where did he start going apart with swords by his side? You remember Jesus called him as a fisherman. So where did he start going apart with the swords by his side? Simply because for him the impression is that Jesus has come, if there is anything, we are his followers, if there is anything, we will fight. We will fight the enemy. Let us start the intention of Jesus. Those who are followers of me, those who are following me are Christians, and they should forgive, they should not take revenge. And that's the notion of Peter. This was a clear example of love. Love of enemy, and then love and do good to those who hate you. Even pray for them. Right there on the cross, remember that Jesus, when they were crucifying him, he had the courage, he took the courage and he said to the Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are. The same Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane told Peter that do not fight for me. Do not take revenge on what they are doing to me. Forgive them. Now on the cross of Calvary, Jesus is saying to God that do not hold this sin against these people, for they do not know what they are doing. Like Father, like what? Son. Jesus was showing the perfect example of being a son to who? Huh? Not God. He was showing the perfect example of being a son to who? To King David. Like son, like what? Like father. Like father, like what? Like son. He was showing the perfect example of being a son to King David. They always say, Jesus, son of who? David. He came from the lineage of what? David. And God has promised David that I will make your reign forever and what? Forever. And from you, a shoot shall come. And who is Jesus, the Son of God, David? Maybe the example of Son of David because he's doing the first reading, you see what David did. David, after God sent Samuel to go and anoint the son from the family, the son of Jesse, to be the king of Israel. After the anointing to be the king of Israel, it took David 30 years to ascend that throne. Why? Because of who? Saul did not allow David to ascend the throne. You hear from the first reading how Saul took how many thousand soldiers? 3,000 soldiers. Imagine. Well, let me give you a practical example. Mr. Tripulos, please come. This boy, come. You, come. The boy. Come on, Daddy. Come to me. It's your business. This is so. This is David. Why are you taking 300 soldiers? Not just 3 soldiers. Not just 300, the 3 was 1,000 soldiers. For this small boy. This man alone can finish this boy. It's a flat, the boy can just vanish. And this is the perfect example. This is how Saul was. Saul was the tallest person you can think about in Israel. Tall and huge. And David was very small. And so, you look at Saul, you look at David, what is the need for that? Which means that Saul wanted to kill David by all words. Yes. Hey, you continue to say yes. So, David, you see, the small boy was in town. The boy left town because of you. The boy was running away because of you, because he's afraid of Saul. And then he ran and went to the wilderness of what? Far inside the wilderness. See, this man will still take 3,000 soldiers and go into the bush searching for this small boy. And I say what Jesus did was like father, like son, because he did exactly what his father did. We are told that these people, 3,000 men with soldiers, they were going looking for David in the wilderness, and they, at that point, they went into the cave and they were all asleep. David came. David saw them. And then one of the David soldiers said to David, "My Lord, this is the opportunity. Look at your enemy lying here. I can just beat him now. Just once. I don't need to strike how many times? 2 times. He promised David that I'm going to kill him once, not even 2 times. Give me a chance." David said, "No. No." The Lord said, "Touch not my anointed one and do what? Do my prophet no harm." Who will raise his hands against the Lord anointed? And he still be guiltless. That is the same thing that Jesus did. On the cross of Calvary, those who are crucifying him, he also said to the Father, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Now, David's enemy is lying here. David is still saying, "No, do not touch him. Forgive him." If you do not forgive, you are not a Christian. So continue to ask yourself as I continue to talk. Be asking yourself, who is this person that I'm holding in mind? Who is this person that I'm keeping malice with? Who is this person that I'm refusing to forgive? Who is this person that I say I was revenge? What has the person done to you that you cannot forgive? Give me these examples. Before I continue, for John Paul of the Blessed Memory, for John Paul of the Blessed Memory, you all heard what he did. For John Paul was celebrating Mass, And at the point of consecration, he raised his hand. And then somebody from the crowd wanted to kill him. The person aimed at the heart to shoot him at the heart so that he could die immediately. But thanks be to God, that the God redirected the bullet, and then he hit his hand. And then put the boy fell down there, and then they took him to the hospital. The man was arrested and was taken to prison. As Apostle Paul was in the hospital, the devil discharged him and said, "That take me to the prison. I want to see this man that wanted to kill me." So they took Apostle Paul to the prison. And when the man was brought up, Apostle Paul says to him, "I have come to forgive you." And he addressed him. Who would do that kind of thing? None of us is ready. What is it that person has done so much so that he cannot live? Is it comparable to all the things that I've given? Is that thing comparable to all the examples that I've given? These are Christians. So if you are a Catholic, if you are a Christian, you must forgive from your heart. If you cannot forgive, then you are not a Christian. It's very sad that these days you hear people, "I don't know, I don't understand. Maybe you teach me more." Back to sender. There is no way God back towards sender. What is that way? Back to sender. You hear people shouting everywhere, "Hello, fire! Fire consumes me! Fire consumes her! Fire consumes her!" Jesus didn't do that. But John Paul II didn't do that. Perceiving at the point of death, people took up stones, they were stoning him to death. They were stoning him, blood was crushing out, and he still prayed to God that Father forgive these people. Is it comparable to what the person is doing to you? Can you compare it? We use the prayers that we pray for these people. Jesus is saying today that pray for your what? Enemies. And then we use the prayer that we should pray for them so that God will touch their heart, so that God will change their heart for better. We use it and we say to God that God should punish them. God should punish them, God should destroy them, God should do this thing to them. That is not the prayer of a Christian. They call us Christians because we are followers of what? Christ. And if you follow somebody, you must follow the person's what? Footsteps. You must do as the person. You must be like the person, Christ-like. Glory to Jesus. I know as I'm talking, many of you will be saying, "Yes, Father, you're talking, but it's very difficult." I know it's difficult. Somebody will say, "Well, Father, my problem is that I forgive, but I cannot forget." Yes, you cannot forget. Because you are a human being. Each time you see the person, that image comes back to mind that this person did this thing to me. But you must forgive. God will not hold you because you did not forget. He will hold you because you did not forgive. And he will hold you because you take revenge. And for you, the first step for you to make to forgive somebody is to seek God in everybody. Seek God in everybody. Because the book of Genesis tells us that God created us in his own image and what? Likeness. And so, if you know that if I'm not talking to this person, I'm not talking to God. If I want to destroy this person and destroy the image of what? God. See God in everybody. That is what King David did. With all the atrocities of soul, that what Saul did and what Saul was doing to him, he saw God's anointing in whom he saw. That is why he said that who will raise his hand against God's anointing and think of goodness. He saw God in Saul. He saw the anointing of God in Saul. He did not say Saul as Saul being a rubbish, being a sinner. But he saw Saul, he saw the anointing of God in Saul. So, if we begin to see everybody as God's anointed, begin to see everybody as the image of God, lying in that person, you will not do harm to anybody. That is the first thing. It is very difficult not to revenge, but if you see God in everybody, you will not take revenge. Remember, the time Saul and David were doing this thing, that was the era where they say that an eye for what? An eye. A tooth for what? A tooth. A leg for what? A leg. A hand for what? A hand. Which means, if you cut off my eye, your eye should be what? Cut off. If it is like that, everybody in this world will go blind. Isn't it? Everybody will go blind. Then, you are driving the car, and then you hit somebody and the person dies. You will choose, they will tell you to come outside. They will drive the car and hit you, you will die. What kind of law is that? But that was the law at that time when David saw Saul lying down there. Somebody is looking for your life. Somebody is searching for your life. Somebody is seeking your life to kill you. So you two, you saw the person. Do what? Kill the person. Finish. There will be no problem about it. But he refused. He saw. David had killed Saul, there would be no problem. Everybody would say yes. And the whole of Israel would have jubilated. They would have said, oh, he was looking for this small boy to kill. Now the boy, small boy had opportunity and the boy killed him. And they would be very happy. But Saul, David saw God in Saul, and then he did not touch Saul. The other one that we should learn is judging. They say, do not judge, so that you will not be judged. We are too fast to condemn. We are too fast to condemn. David still recognized Saul as what? A king. If you read, if you go through the reading, and then listen to it very well, David constantly addressed Saul as what? Oh, king. Although God withdrew David Saul from being the king and gave it to David, but yes, David did not judge Saul according to his past sins. He's always addressing him, oh, king. And he also saw that David, the soul, was quite anointed. And he said, God says, touch not my anointed one. If we was the church, he would have said, this man, is he not the person that God did wrong? Is he not the person that God said he cannot be king? He would have judged soul by that standard. But he did not judge soul. You think God was God anointed. You think God was king. And when you do not judge, that is how God will not judge. Another point is that if we see, Christ tells us that we should be wise as what? Serpent. But innocent as what? I am saying that we should forgive our enemy, we should pray for our enemy. I am not saying you should go and speak your next day that your enemy will kill you. That is what? Foolishness. How come that David was running away from Saul? David was running away from Saul. And I feel at the point that Saul was laying down there with his people and they were all sleeping. We have saw that David went and cut off the stakes of the clothes. And then he took the jar of water. And then he went very far. And then he climbed the mountain. And he stood there and he shouted. And he said, "Oh king, look at the piece of your clothes. Send one of your soldiers to come and collect it." That is wiseness. I believe that I want to believe, and I'm very sure, that when David was going to cut off that clothes, he did so that the man would not wake up. Because if the man wake up and saw him, the man would do what? He kill him. Be as wise as serpent, but innocent as what? Sometimes we say, okay, we are Christian. To be a Christian, to be humble is not to be stupid. Mind it. Sometimes we say we are Christian, and then because Father says that we should forgive anything that somebody does to you, Lord, forgive me. When Jesus says, when they slap you this time, find your other kids to slap you. He's not talking about this because one day we teach you and you will go, you will cry. He's not talking about a physical cheek here, so that when somebody slaps you this time, foolishly you saw this time, Jesus says you should slap me this time. They will slap you again and should pain you, and Jesus will be angry with you again. That is not what they're talking about. They are talking about giving somebody what? A flick called chance. Somebody offends you. Do not want to do against the person. Give the person this second chance. I am forgiving you. So do not be foolish to say that, okay, my enemy, somebody is after my life. You know that somebody is speaking in your mind, somebody wants to kill you. Then you carry your leg and you go to the person's house. I am a son of God. I have come, kill me. If they kill you, you will not even go to hell. Jesus will beat you there before he sends you to hellfire. They will beat you before sending you to hellfire. That is not what they're talking about. The final word is blessing. Blessing. There is no harm in going to somebody who offends you to tell the person that I've come to forgive you. That's no harm. It will not make you move one of your hair from your head. It will make you more honorable to you. The person will even respect you more. The person will even see Christ in you. Because it is a hard thing to do. That is why somebody explained that saints are people, ordinary people, who do extraordinary things in what? Ordinary ways. These are things that ordinary nobody should do. How can you offend me? It is expected that you should come to me and say, Father, please I apologize, forgive me, but I will go to you, telling you that I have come to forgive you. I will be the one looking for reconciliation. So when you forgive, the blessing comes back to you. If you go home, read this chapter of the Bible, this first reading, read it further, you understand what I'm talking about. When David stood at the mountain and saw the piece of cloth, I said, look at the piece of cloth here, send one of your soldiers to come and collect it. David saw it, came by himself with the soldiers. When he came, he looked at David and said, oh, my son David, today I know that you are more righteous than I am. May the God of Israel bless you. I know that for sure you are going to be the king of Israel. From that day, so has gone. So you cannot say that you are a Christian because somebody has done something to you or somebody is looking for your life to destroy. Then you go revenge you. The fight will still continue. There will be no peace. But when you use peace to fight back the enemy, you always win. So reflect, meditate. What is it that this person has done to you? Why can't I forgive him? If you do not forgive him, tomorrow you will die and still leave him and he will continue. What is it in this world that is worth dying for? world is not our place. We are passerby here. Our eternal dwelling is the eternal heaven that we are all looking for. If you are fighting for this one now, that the person has collected this one from you, the person has given this one from you, the person has found this one for you, tomorrow you will die. Either you will die first or the person will die. And everything will finish. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Let us take a moment and reflect. Before we profess our faith in Christ, let us think about the people that we are holding against in our mind. Let us ask God to forgive us first of all for doing that. And let us also ask God to touch their heart. Never to do that kind of thing against any human being. So that God will continue to bless us.